This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. If you need any more information, head to FUBARradio.com.
Callum McSwiggan.
Callum McSwiggan.
On FUBAR Radio.
We'll be right back.
Hello and welcome back to the Callum McSwiggan Show. Today is a very, very special Halloween edition. And for anyone out there who follows me, you know that I'm absolutely obsessed with Halloween. And today I am joined by two very, very, very special spooky guests. It is Kitty and Jess from the Unisex Modes. Unisex Mode.
Mode.
Got it wrong. Jesus Christ. Get the branding
get it right,
Callum.
Come on.
Jesus. How are you guys?
Good.
Yeah. I'm really, really glad you guys are here. I've recently become obsessed with both of your Instagrams.
Oh,
Kitty, you did a very lovely Halloween look the other day and I was absolutely living for
She's
it.
She's literally obsessed. She's been talking about it like weeks in advance.
Yeah, like I usually have my Halloween costume ready for like the spring. I'm absolutely obsessed. Have you done a Halloween look yet, Jess?
No, I mean, to be honest, the Kitty's are all over the gothic kind of look.
Yeah.
My thing is like festivals, summer.
Yeah.
I do all like the fluff, glitter. That's my like dressing up. That's what I love.
Yeah.
So like come Halloween, one year I literally just wrapped myself in toilet roll and I was a zombie. It looked jokes, but it basically disintegrated after like 5 minutes.
We're in this venue there's a lot of beer and like drinking.
So my costume kind of melted on me, so since then I've just kind of been like meh.
Is there evidence of this costume on,
I found it the other day.
I need to go back and look.
I was trying to find it for like months, honestly.
It's literally, and like the angle it's taken, I look like even more of like a midget because like they've done it like downwards like that, so I'm just like it's not good.
I was wearing a kid's skeleton outfit that I was so
nice,
emo
nice.
With like a little skirt around it with like a little skeleton like,
I love
head.
It,
oh, it was, yeah.
Lots of skin on show, like a little
no,
kid's
it was,
one
no it was quite covered
yeah,
up
yeah
it covered
was up. Like an actual children's outfit.
Yeah.
So
no skin to bear.
No, exactly.
I use Halloween as an excuse to get slutty.
Do you?
Every
Do
year
you?
Yeah.
What did you guys last year?
Last year I was, well, I always dress up multiple times, so last year I actually had just shaved my head for Cancer Research UK to raise money for them.
That's
so
cool.
I was like, and I love my hair and like it's a big part of like my personality and my look.
Yeah.
And I was like, how am I going to make this work for Halloween? So I was like, I'm going to incorporate it. So I did like a army man, like the jug, with the buzz cut look. I did like a skeleton and I completely just covered my head white so it looked like a skull.
Oh, amazing.
And I can't even remember. I did loads of things. So it was a lot of fun.
Cool.
And I've already dressed up once this year.
Have you posted it?
I posted it on Insta stories, but not on Instagram.
Okay. Yeah.
I did like a dead zombie baseball player.
Oh, sick.
It was fun. But I like had a little crop top and like got
made it cute.
Yeah, got my lack of abs out.
Trust me. It's a work in progress.
It's a work in progress.
2K17, 18 even.
So are you guys dressing up this year?
Yeah, we've been talking about this all day.
Yeah.
And trying to discuss. We've been trying to figure out like where we're going to go, because obviously it feels like there are 5 days of Halloween this year.
Yes.
Because there's the weekend, but that's not actual Halloween.
Yeah, because Halloween's on like a Tuesday.
Tuesday. Exactly.
Who did that? They should have rescheduled the year.
Do you know what I mean? Like, come on. On the weekend.
Sort it out. Jinx.
Weird. I already did Friday 13th and got really excited about that as well.
Yeah.
Went and got tattooed and got like really excited for Halloween.
What's the tattoo?
It is a Felix the Cat stood on a 13.
Love
and it's
it.
Kind of like flame colours in the 13.
Oh, nice. Where is it? Is it somewhere I
on
can see?
On my leg, yeah.
Go on, get it out for me. Get it out.
Get it out, Gil.
Oh, it's so good. I think I actually saw it somewhere.
Yeah, I actually
it looks
wanted
familiar.
It. She bloody copied me. And then I didn't end up getting it, bitch.
It was a flash from a guy that I wanted to get tattooed by anyway. We just always like the same thing, so it's hilarious. Like,
yeah.
He just posted this picture of flash and was like, this is what I'm going to do. And I sent it to Jess and was like, this is what the flash is for tomorrow. And I was like, I'm thinking getting this and this. And she was like, well, that's what I wanted to get too.
Literally, like, the whole thing, like, the two things I wanted to get were the exact same as her.
Yeah.
So did you get anything, Jess?
No. I was, like, really
couldn't
bogged down with work. So, couldn't actually make it, sadly.
A bit busy.
I was really busy. And I went.
You still fit it in.
I literally got there before it opened. Because my friend runs a shop, right? So I knew what time they're opening and everything. I got there before. Like, there were people queuing as well. But, like, they joined me. And I was styling that day, but I got there before.
Okay.
And my assistant came and I was like, right, so I need you to go and do X, Y, and Z.
I'm going to just stay here.
It only took like half an hour, to be fair. And they called me. So like the guy that runs the shop sneakily got in before everyone else. So as soon as they'd finished settling him, they like called me and I like ran back.
Ran in and got it.
To be fair, I only had to be around a corner to begin with that morning.
It's, it's dedication that you put that much effort into fitting it into your schedule.
Exactly.
And on Friday the 13th as well. You're like, I'm not doing this by halves.
It's my favourite day.
Yeah, it's a great day. It was in October this year.
Exactly,
when has that ever happened?
Fantastic. Like pure Halloween-y.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love it. Well, you just mentioned that you were doing styling that day. So why don't you guys tell the listeners what exactly it is that you do on the unisex mode and also individually?
Okay, so it's a big ask. Well, we do the unisex mode, which is a fashion and lifestyle blog together. It is what it says on a tin, which is unisex fashion and culture.
Yeah.
So kind of streetwear, women wearing menswear, menswear for men as well, but also like with a girly twist for men. A lot of sneakers and streetwear, and then like action sports, movies, sometimes anything that I guess maybe you don't see on a girly girl's blog, but from a girl's point of view, that's what it is. We run that together. And we're like yin and yang, like we say, we like everything similar, but
different.
Different.
You have very different looks, but there's also something that like connects you, and you like work as a great team.
Thanks.
It works together. I really, really like it.
Thank you.
And then we do stuff separately as well.
Yeah.
So I'm a fashion stylist outside of it. And Jess.
I mean, I never really know how to label my job.
Me neither, honestly.
Like, it's essentially like e-commerce, basically.
Okay. Yeah.
So I run, I run five online websites. One website that most people know me for is Small Feet Big Kicks, which is an online sneaker store for girls.
Nice.
Or people with small feet.
Well, yeah. Well, it started off as a thing just for girls.
Yeah.
But now it's essentially just something for anyone that has small size feet, from sizes 3 to 6.5. And then the other websites are just like selling streetwear, menswear, sportswear. So basically our whole lives revolve around kind of sportswear and streetwear, essentially.
I actually didn't know that about the little feet thing. That's really cool.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. That's like my... Everyone's always like, what do you actually do? Because I always just see you on your videos and you're just surrounded by trainers. I'm just like, yeah. They're like, do you work in size or something? I'm like, no. So that's kind of what I do on a 9-to-5 basis.
Awesome. Ooh. Well, I actually wanted to talk to you guys about the jacket I'm wearing today.
Okay.
So I went into a store last weekend and I saw this like lovely varsity jacket in the window and I was like, oh my God, I love it. I want it. Just like for the people that can't see, it's like a red and white varsity. It has like a nice rose gold zip. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh my God, I love that jacket. And I went in and I saw it there and it was over in the women's section. So I was like, you know, fine, I've shopped in the women's section before.
Yeah.
And I went over and I picked it up. I'm not going to name and shame the store, but I picked it up and I was like, oh yeah, I really like this. And I was just about to go and try it on when one of the shop assistants came over and was like, you do realise that this is a women's women's top. And I was just like, yeah. And she just looked at me
as if
judging. What on earth are you doing? And like, as you can see, you know,
it looks like a guy's top.
Not that that should matter, you know. If it was a dress, I shouldn't.
Yeah.
And I just, also a friend of mine recently went into, again, I'm not going to name the store, but it was a store that sold both men's and women's clothes.
Yeah.
And he wanted to try on an item of women's clothes for an outfit he was wearing to a festival. And he went to the changing rooms and they wouldn't let him try it on.
Are you joking?
They wouldn't let him. They said, this is for women and you can't try this on here.
What?
Yeah.
No, that's so mad.
That's so bad.
Yeah. So
because but then, like women try men's stuff on all the time.
Yes.
So why is it, like, less of a thing for women to do it, but then it's, like, weird for a guy to do it?
Yeah.
Not allowed. To be completely refused, I think that is a bit mad.
It's bizarre, isn't it?
Yeah.
It seems... I feel like it's become really, really acceptable. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I feel like in the past, like, 10, 20 years, it's become really acceptable for women to wear men's clothes.
Yeah,
definitely.
But it doesn't seem to be the other way around.
Yeah, it's true. There's this whole movement, which is... It doesn't feel very feminine, but if you break it down, it is, which in streetwear. So, like, guys wearing the really long T-shirts that are basically dresses, and then that kind of evolved into guys wearing dresses. So that whole thing is kind of pushed towards allowing guys to be able to shop in the women's section.
Yeah.
But it's a very dark kind of, it's like the street goth look, basically.
Sure.
So it's a very black monochrome look. It's quite masculine dudes as well that wear it. Mm. And it's very Japanese, like that whole Yoji Yamamoto, Y3, that whole scene.
You've lost me. Okay. But, carry, well, but continue.
Adidas do this collection called Y3.
Okay.
And the designer, he's got his own collection. He's a designer that they then fused with, if that makes sense.
Sure, yeah.
And it's like dresses for guys, but he does women's and menswear. But the menswear is like layers. It's like draping. It's what you'd expect to see on a girl.
Sure.
But when you see it on a guy, the way that he's designed it, it looks quite masculine.
Yeah.
But really, when you break it down, it's a dress on a guy or a skirt on a guy. It's really feminine, but it's portrayed in such a masculine way. So that whole movement, it's a very streetwear like led movement. So you don't think of that as being feminine because streetwear is always a men's world.
Yeah.
It has been for so long. So it's really weird and it's interesting to hear you say that because from like we have all these groups of guy mates that are really into sneakers and streetwear, right? And there's millions of different pockets of styles and that's one of them. And the dudes that are not into that style like would think those guys are really girly. Whereas like any of your mates who, I don't know, maybe a bit more feminine with their style,
yeah,
would probably think those guys are really masculine.
Really masculine, yeah.
And it's interesting because if they go into an Adidas store and they want to pick up a Y3 piece, no one's going to stop them, but it's a dress. You know, like ultimately, it really is a dress for a guy.
It's definitely down to the scene, though, I think.
Yeah,
like,
totally.
Because I think that kind of like prejudice almost is like when it's like high street stores and like filtered down to just kind of like
the normal mainstream
level. Because like when it's in like streetwear, it's like an actual trend.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's something that's like trickled down from like high fashion into like that little pocket of people. Whereas like going into like Topshop or something, Topman, I can see that's the kind of like attitudes that like people have because they're not really like, they're not exposed, for example, to like the streetwear kind of scene or whatever. But, like, to be completely, like, refused to try something on, I think is ridiculous. Especially because, like, a lot of guys tend to be really tall and slim.
Yeah.
And, like, a lot of generic menswear doesn't even fit them.
Yeah,
so, like,
yeah,
I know a lot of guys that are really slim. And, like, for them, it's just more of, like, a case of fit.
Yeah,
it just fits better. So, like,
my ex-boyfriend used to still, my jeans, he's still got a pair.
Really?
Yeah.
Going back to what you were saying about the whole, like, kind of it being, like, a masculine look, I totally 100% understand that. Like, I follow a couple of guys on Instagram who really go for the kind of, I don't know if gender fuck's the right word, but that kind of, like, androgynous look.
Mm.
And I see them all the time and I'm like, somehow it's even more masculine than wearing men's clothes. I feel like it's about the kind of confidence with which you wear it as well. And, you know, I love it whenever, like, gender roles are broken down because, you know, if you go back historically, we used to dress little boys in dresses and things like that.
Yeah.
And it was considered, that wasn't odd. That was completely normal.
Mm.
But in today's society, but I feel like we are going now in the other direction, in the positive direction, where things are slowly and gradually becoming more acceptable, which is a wonderful thing.
Yeah, it's very true.
What a lovely way to start the show. So we've got a lot of fun things planned today. We're going to be playing some fun games. We're going to be playing Mixed Pleasures, where we're going to be discussing some sexual fetishes. So that one will be fun. We'll be doing some LGBT+ news. We'll be doing a little bit of Two Truths, One Lie. We'll be playing Quiz Throughout the Years and Porn or Not Porn. So lots of fun things happening today. Lots of Halloween themed things going on. And so let's have a little bit of Annie Lennox, I Put a Spell on You.
Guilty.
I put a spell on you because you're mine. You better stop the things you do. I tell you, I ain't lying. I ain't lying. You know I can't stand it. You're running around. You know better, daddy. I can't stand it 'cause you put me down. I put a spell on you.
Radio presents
Crew and Show with Johanna James.
We're joined by Jake Lambert, the comedian.
Hello.
Hello.
Do you find it weird to be called a comedian?
If I'm about to walk on stage, fine. But if I'm just meeting a new friend, it's the worst thing in the world.
So, Jake, you started on Twitter?
Yeah. Well, people started buying the jokes off me.
Is that even a thing?
Yeah. But I was speaking to somebody who was at my first gig there the other day. She said I was in the audience. And she said, I remember you were so nervous that your trousers were falling down. You didn't do anything about it.
Oh,
so I just stood there with my trousers. I didn't even realise.
That was part of the act.
Yeah, apparently.
Every Friday.
Back Row and Show with Johanna James.
From 4 p.m.
FUBAR Radio.
That was a little bit of Annie Lennox there to get us in the mood. And I think that was the song for 50 Shades of Grey.
Was it?
I believe. Yeah,
oh,
I
really?
Think it was like the, I don't remember which,
the
but it was
song.
The theme song. And
I haven't seen it.
You haven't seen 50 Shades of Grey?
I've seen like parts of it. Because like, you know when you go on like Sky Movies?
Yeah.
Oh. And then it's like halfway through, so I've seen like a bit of it, but I haven't seen all of it.
I watched it on an aeroplane with my friend Hannah Witten, and we thought, you know, they must censor bits out if this is suitable for an aeroplane where there are kids sat around. There's actually kids sat in the next row.
Oh,
and we watched it, and it was like the completely uncensored version. Like, you see his penis. I wasn't expecting
it. Really?
Yeah.
It's pretty, that's the one where he's like really into like...
BDSM.
Tying
people
one.
Up, whipping them, that sort of thing.
I feel a bit like, when I watch it, I like cringe for her because I'm like, you look like you're in pain. And she just looks like so weak and I'm like, oh my God, bless you.
Well, I've heard a lot of like mixed opinions about it as well from like the BDSM community, so the people who are into these things. And some people really praise it and say, you know, this is great. We're getting like mainstream representation and it's, you know, being into kink and stuff like that is a perfectly viable way to live your life and it doesn't make you weird or a freak. But then I've also heard other people who are also in the community saying things like it's a really bad representation and that their relationship is actually toxic and it's kind of glorifying something that's actually quite toxic.
A lot of people have said, I've heard that and read that as well.
Yeah, so
it's a bit abusive.
I don't know where I fall into it because she's kind of consenting, she's kind of not. It's a grey area. Like she signs a document and that would never happen in real life.
Like
you would never sign a document saying that like I am now your
I'm now your bitch.
Yeah, so it's a little bit of a weird one.
That's kind of consenting.
It is, but consent is something that you have to be able to withdraw at a moment's notice.
Yeah,
so you can always say no.
Yeah.
Even if you sign a thing saying you can do what you want to me, you always have to be able to
Did she never say no?
To be honest, I didn't pay that much attention.
Yeah. I need to watch it.
Well, speaking of BDSM, we're going to move straight into mixed pleasures now.
Cool.
We have a lovely, fabulous wheel here in the studio, and it is covered in different fetishes.
Okay.
And all these fetishes, the names tend to be in kind of Latin. So, and you guys, from the name alone, you have to figure out what these fetishes might
be. Well, this one in the cab was telling me how about she was a Latin connoisseur.
Oh,
so
well, you know.
If she flops, I'm going to be extremely annoyed.
I mean, when I was nine, did an entire
now
play.
Now it's all coming out. Oh.
Well, no, wait, 11. It was 11.
If you don't get 4 out of 4, I'm going to be really disappointed.
Me too. I'm going to be extremely
My mum is going to be so angry at me.
All right, Kitty, would you like to spin the wheel for me?
Okay.
Off you go. I used to make people do the wheel sound, but I've stopped doing that.
I actually make so many noises, so please... Just tell me if I'm being irritated.
I mean, you can make the wheel sound if you like.
I make random little noise.
All right, the wheel has landed on coprophilia. Coprophilia.
Oh, gosh. It sounds like a fear of something. Philia.
So philia is at the end of all of them, and that means that is like the fetish for.
Right, okay.
Like philia is like a intense fetish desire, whereas phobia is like a fear.
Okay.
So we just need to work out what the fetish is for.
Yes. Copro.
Coprophilia.
God.
Come on, use your Latin skills.
I'm trying to think through.
Cough.
I'm trying so hard
copra,
to think.
Cop.
It's a really difficult name. It's a really difficult game. And yeah, go on.
Sensitive heads. No.
No, but I like the way your brain's working here.
What were you going to say before I butted in?
I absolutely... Oh, the thing about this game is it's a lot of fun for me watching you squirm and try and figure it out because the names really aren't that big a clue. Like, there's not really a clue
really?
In the name
oh,
in
wicked.
This one.
Well, this is a great start.
So, yeah.
Let's just randomly guess. Foot fetish?
It's not a foot fetish. It's something that's quite extreme and something that would be frowned upon by a lot of people. I'm not frowning upon it. You know, if people want to do this, that's absolutely fine. But it's something that I feel like a lot of people may not...
Is this something that, like, we would have heard of, though?
Yeah, it is.
So you is it, like, to do with bodily fluids?
Close. Right, I'm going to get your next guess is your final
guess.
It is, absolutely. It is
People pooing on each other.
Oh, it's the arousal to feces. Coprophilia.
Interesting.
Coprophilia. Interesting. It's locked and loaded, so if anyone ever asks me, I'll be like, I'm not sure. I actually know what that means now.
If somebody pops up on Tinder and they're like, are you into coprophilia?
You know, it's weird. This is not even strange at all, but when I first moved to Wales, I used to live in Wales, right? Mm-hmm. There's the word for cuddle is kutch.
Kutch.
But when a guy first said to me, I want to kutch you, I was like, you want to do what
you
to
want,
me?
Excuse me?
I had no idea what it meant. And I was like, I was dating him and I was like, I'm not, you need to explain further. Yeah. Like, I want to cuddle you. I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah, why don't you just say cuddle?
If somebody told me they wanted to kutch me, my mind would have gone to the darkest, most sinister places. It sounds quite...
Yeah, it's a really cute
word. Sounds very grabby.
It does.
Kutch, yeah.
Yeah.
Kutch.
It's got that hard C.
Yeah.
All right, Jess, do you want to spin the wheel?
Okay.
And you're going to do the noise.
That sounded more like a rocket.
Yeah, it's not a rocket. That was beautiful. All right, the wheel has landed on gerontophilia.
Gerontophilia. Gerontophilia. Saints of being large.
Oh, like you're thinking like gigantic.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's not large, but it is kind of like on the end of a certain scale.
I feel like there's
like a clue in the way it's spelt. Wait, hang on.
Geronto. Is it G-I-R?
It's G-E-R-O-N.
Geron. Geronimo!
G-E-R. What was it?
Geron.
G-E-R-O-N-T. Ophelia. Gerontophilia.
Geront.
Oh, my God.
It's tricky. It is tricky.
On a certain end of a scale, but...
I literally have absolutely no clue.
Is it... So, it's not the opposite of what I said. It's not, like, to do with bones or something and being...
Kind of. You're very close. You're actually very close.
Oh, God, you're good at this.
I feel like
is it to do with joints?
No, but like also
I've
yes, in a way, like
bad, in my head.
Potentially bad joints.
Bad joints.
Yeah.
So it's to do with like cuts.
No,
but that's not a joint.
But like somebody like, who might have bad joints.
Oh, it's to do with
arthritis.
Like ill people or old people.
Yeah. The arousal to the elderly.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Gerontophilia.
I was trying to get the word up on the screen because I feel like if you see the word, I don't know, it makes me think, I don't know, like gentleman or...
Right,
oh,
I see what you mean.
What
is it? The
arousal to the elderly.
Arousal to the elderly.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Like, I actually have a really good friend, and he's my age, and ever since he was about the age of 20, 21, he's really, not elderly, but he's been really attracted to, like, guys in their kind of, like, late 50s.
Oh, really?
And he would frequently get with, like, much, much older men. So,
fair enough.
You know, I guess it just, you know, you hear about people being into daddies. And
yeah.
I don't like
granddaddies.
That. It's just the word. Like, the actual thing of, like, an older person is fine, but it's the word.
Daddy and the association.
I'm not okay with that.
Like, oh, daddy.
Oh, no, that's so
Well, because
so
I
gross.
Still, you know, if I want, like, my dad to, like, bring me a drink or something, I'll be like, hey, daddy, get me a drink.
Yeah.
Like, so
we have a joke about that. Yeah. She thinks, basically, my dad doesn't like dad. My mum doesn't really like mum. So I don't really call him daddy, but he'd prefer it. But I call him pops. He likes pops.
Yeah.
And that's what he called his dad.
Pops.
But if not, it's daddy. It can't be dad. It's non-you. Like, you know.
I do say, like, oh, he's a bit of a dad when I see a hot guy. It doesn't mean age, though. Yeah, I could, be talking about a 20-year-old. I'd be like, oh, he's a dad.
Yeah, but I can kind of get that because then, it's almost like the woman within you.
No, absolutely. Absolutely.
But all right. Not the whole daddy thing.
Shall we spin the wheel again?
Yeah.
Kitty, you're up. Are you going to do a noise? Yeah, you've got this.
Just copied my rocket noise, essentially.
I don't know what wheel. What, like, have you ever seen Wheel of Fortune?
Yeah, I'm trying to think of what the thing is. Oh, no, that's Countdown.
All right, it's landed on lithophilia. Lithophilia. Come on, use your Latin.
Lith.
I'm just thinking of, like, lithogram.
What's a lithogram?
A lithograph.
Yeah.
What is that?
To do with maths, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, it's the fetish for maths. No,
it's not. What is it? Fetish for numbers? No, OCD fetish.
Isn't it like a kind of paper that you do in science? Oh my God, my mum cannot listen to
it. I guess it could potentially be to do with science.
Okay.
Potentially.
Is it to do with... If it's to do with science...
It's like a very specific niche kind of science, though. Like a specific type of scientist would work with this specific thing.
Physics scientist.
No, even more specific than that. Like, it's one very... I'm not... This isn't really helping, I know.
Is it sort of liquids or something?
No, it isn't.
Is it skin?
No, it's to do with a thing. So it's not to do with, like, a human body
or
an action. It's a thing.
Fruit? Vegetables?
You're getting closer. You're getting closer. Something to do with the earth.
Plants.
I'm going to give you soil. It is the arousal to stone and gravel.
What? Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Is that a thing?
Apparently,
wow. Apparently,
there is literally a fetish for everything. We've had one of the fetishes we had on the show once was the arousal to fog.
Fog.
Yeah.
I thought you said fuck in like an accent. And I was like, no, wait, as in like the misty fog of the morning.
Yeah.
That is mad.
So, you know, you go out, you see a few rocks on the ground and you're like, oh, yeah.
Love that.
How do you... I don't know.
I guess
so
I could...
So we're surrounded by rocks all the time. So, like,
how do you deal with that?
Life every day.
That's what I'm thinking.
But I can maybe it's more like the art of, like, if you were lying on gravel and having sex, maybe the texture and the roughness. I don't know.
I just started getting bubbles in my legs. Yeah. Sound like such a granny.
All right, let's do one final spin. That's a really weird spinning sound. That was good. That was really good.
I'm getting better.
All right, it is pubophilia.
Is that to do with hair? Pubic hair.
It is. It's a really, really easy one.
Yay, I've got one. Booyah.
It is the arousal to pubic hair.
Ew.
And, I mean, I gave you a lot of help, but you did get 4 out of 4.
Yes.
Which is indeed a record. You are the only people to ever get everything right. So I feel like I helped you a lot. But let's chuck it up to Kitty's Latin skills.
Cough, no. If I ever hear you talk about your Latin skills again, I will literally... I will give like a little recording.
I'm brushing it up now.
Never again bring up your Latin skills.
How dare you?
All right, later on in the show, we are going to be reacting live to your sex confessions. So if you want to send those in, you can do that by emailing callum@fubarradio.com. We will not be reading out your name, so it will be anonymous. So don't worry about your friends and family knowing your deepest, darkest secrets. And since it is a Halloween show, if you have anything particularly gory or spooky, then please do get involved. And yeah, let's have a little bit of Rihanna.
What's wrong with me? Why do I feel like this? I'm going crazy now. No more gas in the red. Can't even get started. Nothing heard, nothing said. Can't even speak about it. I'm alive, I'm my head. Don't wanna think about it. Feels like I'm going insane, yeah. It's a thief in the night to come and grab you. It can creep up inside you and consume you. A disease of the mind, it can control you. It's too close for comfort.
Just go under, better think twice. The chain of thought will be altered. So if you must
love a bit of Rihanna. I feel like she's one of the only people who actually fully commits to like making like Halloween themed music.
Because
you know, you've got Disturbia, you've got Monster, you've got, I guess, the S&M one is kind of, you know, about like whips and chains and things. You know, she's a bit of a dark character, and I'm into that. I love that Jess is currently hiding from the microphone because she's got a mouthful of crisps.
And they're so crunchy. I don't want to be
crunch, crunch, crunch. Ruining the show.
Hello, sorry, guys. Man's got to eat out here.
All right, we're going to be getting a little bit controversial now because we're going to be going into some LGBT plus news. And this week it's pretty... there is a little bit of controversy going on. So the first news story I have is that Theresa May was invited as a special secret surprise guest to the Pink News Awards, which is an Pink News is an LGBT plus publication, and Theresa May was invited along as a surprise guest. And there was a lot of outrage and uproar by the LGBT plus community because she attended and she was, you know, being raised up as this special guest because of her kind of her history. We had the Conservative Party doing a deal with the DUP, who are notoriously homophobic. Mm-hmm. And also, you know, the Conservative Party have been deporting LGBT plus people, and which is essentially, you know, sending people to their deaths because they're being sent back to countries where they're not accepted. And these are people that are out with their gender or their sexuality. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they're going back to a country that where doesn't they may have the... Yeah. Mm-hmm. So... what do you guys think of the? Because I'm kind of in two minds about this. One part of me feels that, you know, if somebody is perhaps perceived as being homophobic, but they want to attend a pro LGBT plus event, that's them showing that they want to support the community, and that's a positive and a wonderful thing. But on the other hand, it's she has this track record, so why is she being invited to an awards thing, which is supposed to be raising up LGBT plus people?
Exactly. Hold on.
I know, it's just, like, for me, I don't know, I'm always, like, quick to take, like, the negative view on things. I know. I mean, yeah, I get your point. It's good that she showed face, but then I'm like, how much of that is that her own input showing face? Like, how much of it was her little PA or whatever being like, you should probably go to
this.
Yeah,
like, this would be great PR for you.
Yeah, it would be good for you because she's had such bad PR.
Yeah.
And, like, for me, I just kind of feel like, as you said, like, given her track record and the whole thing with the DUP, it's like, realistically, that was so recent.
Yeah, yeah.
So coming to something like that, I just, to me, it just sounds like completely fake. And I would be extremely annoyed if I saw someone like that, there at my event. Because I'm just like, why are you there? Yeah. Realistically.
It's difficult to say because, like you say, you're judging. Whereas, like, if she wants to go and try and change that track record, great, but you have to say something. And as the Prime Minister of the country, you need to speak.
You need to step up and say,
and you need to share your own valid opinions. And that's what she seems to lack doing most of the time. It feels like any opinion she shares has been... obviously, she has to discuss it with people. That's also part of her job, but it doesn't always feel genuine. So, yeah, great, if she wants to go there, but maybe you need to have... said something prior to going, I accept what I have, you know, or the situations that have happened prior to this, and I want to show my support to this community right now. Fine, but she never does, and that's her problem, lack of communication.
Absolutely.
And the communication that she does share doesn't seem valid or honest, I think is the best way of putting it.
Yeah.
So it's difficult because I have this back and forth with her because I don't want to hate who's running our country. I want to believe that they can do something good. But she doesn't show that most of the time. And these flickers of hope just seem like press opportunities for her, basically. It's really difficult because we're in 2017 and to think how far we had come as a, not just a country, like this nation, but the world. And in comparison to now, the steps that seem to be going so far backwards, it's ridiculous. And to think that it only was how many years has it been since it's been legal within the past?
Gay marriage in this country has been legal for about 4 years.
And being gay, though. Even being gay was like the 70s?
I want to say it was 1984, but I might have...
maybe 80s. Yeah, not that...
Oh, I should know this.
Somewhere between the 60s and 80s.
You're going to message in like, why don't you
go? Basically, realistically, not very long.
It was the 50-year anniversary this year.
Okay.
So I think it was 1967. I went to the Houses of Parliament to celebrate it. I'm sat here saying I don't know how long it's been.
It's difficult. What do you think, personally?
I think it's all about people's intent, what they genuinely intend in their heart. And if Theresa May genuinely went, oh, the Pink News Awards, I've been invited there to speak and show face, and I care about the LGBT plus community, and I want to show my support for them. And that if that is the genuine reason that she went, then all power to her, and I applaud her efforts. However, like both of you said, I do feel like it felt like a PR thing. It felt like she was trying to get positive press and to show that, you know, because there are a lot of, there are LGBT Tories out there. Maybe people are, there are some people who are on the fence, and maybe they would want to be conservative if they had a leader they could look up to. So, and I do feel like that was the reason she, you know, I don't know. The only person that knows, I guess, it really is her.
But that's a shame. We should know. We should know what her intention is.
Like something like that, with your track record, you would want to make a thing of it.
Exactly.
And like let, that should have been a press story.
Absolutely.
Especially all the negative press that she gets. I don't understand. She's too scared to stand up for herself. Everything negative that comes out for her, she never has made an effort to correct. Her correcting is just to show face. Talking is the most important thing. Miscommunication is the biggest issue in life, in the world. If you don't talk as the prime minister,
there's a big issue.
We're all fucked. That's your own issue.
This is to talk.
And she never does.
Well, I mean, take Hillary Clinton, for example. She had a very, very homophobic track record. She had voted against same-sex marriage. She had voted against lots of things based on LGBT plus rights. And I genuinely believe her heart completely changed. I believe she acknowledged that she was wrong, and she spoke openly about that. And now I would 100% throw my support behind Hillary Clinton. Despite, you know, people change, and we should accept and forgive when they do. But I just, with Theresa May, I just don't think she has changed. I think she's pretending to have changed, but she hasn't.
And I agree.
She's kind of doing this like being on the fence thing as well. So she's appeasing the homophobic people out there, and she's trying to appease the gays as well. So you can't do both.
No, literally.
You literally can't.
You need to be able to accept everybody. Yes, but you can't agree with two opposing opinions.
Absolutely.
Does not make sense.
Well, speaking of agreeing with two opposing opinions, that brings me quite nicely onto my next story. So I don't know, do you guys know, I may pronounce his name wrong because I've only ever seen it written down. I see it written down everywhere. But do you guys know about Milo Yiannopoulos? Have you heard of him?
I don't think so.
He's a far-right Donald Trump supporter.
Oh, God.
But
you may continue.
He is a gay man as well.
Right.
And even though, you know, Donald Trump has done so many things against LGBT plus people, he still supports him, and he still supports the far right. And he recently got married to a man. He was able to do that in America because he has that right as an American citizen. So he got married, but he has called out and told people to vote against the same-sex marriage referendum in Australia.
What?
He's telling people not to vote for gay. So even though he has been afforded the right in Australia.
Why?
So the referendum is going on right now in Australia. People are voting for whether or not they think same-sex marriage should be legal. So people right across Australia are voting right now. And he said that he wants people to vote no.
How does that even make sense?
But it doesn't make sense.
It's so contradictory to your own life.
Surely he must have made valid opinions about it.
Well, the thing is, he is known for being kind of controversial. And it seems like whenever there's an opportunity for him to be controversial, he seizes it. And I feel like he's saying this to be provocative. You know, he just got married to his husband, and he was afforded that right. How can he possibly say that other people shouldn't be? His reasoning was that, you know, it infringes on people's religious freedoms, which I personally think is nonsense. I think you can reconcile your faith with your sexuality.
So how does that not affect America? And also, why does he care about Australia?
Exactly. I feel like he's just putting this opinion out
there. If anything, I mean, maybe this is a not valid opinion, but America is a huge country, right? There are a lot of very religious people in America. Australia, there's definitely lots of religious people. It doesn't feel heavily religious.
Yes.
So his point goes against where he's from. Yeah, exactly. It doesn't make any sense to me.
Absolutely.
And also that's ridiculous because, I don't know, religion, you go back and forth about whether it supports being gay or not. Hundreds of thousands of years ago, being gay was acceptable.
Yeah.
In like, I'm not going to go back in, like, I'm not going to be specifically correct about my history right now, but hundreds of years ago, it was allowed for men to be gay, but not women.
Yes.
So they were very religious back then. Mm-hmm. So how does it make sense that in 2017, you're allowed to use the religious, you know,
card.
Label, because, yeah. A card, yeah, exactly, to say that people shouldn't be allowed to get married when it was allowed hundreds of years ago.
Yeah.
Just because you're a man as well. Like, yeah. Women weren't allowed to be. The whole thing is so backwards and confusing. And I've known people that I grew up with, right, that I went to school with, not many, like two people that I went to school with, that thought because they were very Christian, being gay was wrong. Mm-hmm. I don't think they think that anymore. They were teenagers at the time, and they'd, you know, been brought up that way, shall we say. And I heard it and was very shocked and didn't think those people were like that. But since I feel like they've changed and they've grown up and they've matured and made their own opinions, I don't understand how we can be in 2017 and that and can be a law, that. You know? It's just ridiculous.
It is ridiculous. And I do feel like people kind of use religion as an excuse for being homophobic or transphobic. You know, there are so many things that religion says that people overlook all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, certain religions say that women shouldn't be allowed to work, for instance. And yet we ignore that rule.
Yeah,
that
exactly.
Rule in quotation marks.
Yeah.
But it's
not a rule, though. This is a thing that everybody goes by. Religion was...
It should be something to just kind of like... guide you.
Yeah.
Yes, it's moral set in guidance.
Exactly.
Okay. People take it far too seriously.
Mm.
Well, those were two quite negative stories, so okay. I thought we'd end on something a little bit more nice.
Positive.
Well, this positive story does start with a negative, but okay. Bear with me.
Silver lining.
So there was a lovely lesbian couple. I believe they were in America, and it was a girl named Destiny and her girlfriend, and her father was homophobic, and she, in defiance of his homophobia, she put up a rainbow flag in her bedroom, and she posted about this on social media and said, you know, standing, even though my parents disagree with me, I'm still gonna, you know, put up my flag with pride and be proud of who I am and not let their opinions hold me down. And in response to that, her father ripped down her rainbow flag, and I think he either burned it or threw it away or shredded it, but he disposed of it in quite an aggressive manner.
Yeah.
And in response to this, her and her girlfriend decided that they wanted the rainbow flag up in the room, but how would they do that if he was going to continue tearing it down? So they decided to go off to the arts and crafts shop and get some paint and paint it onto the wall.
Wow.
And they posted about this on social media and it went viral and it went
amazing.
Absolutely everywhere. And I just think it's very brave of this girl to stand up to her father in this way, but it's also quite fun and cheeky, and the fact that the LGBT plus community and the wider world rallied around her, I think is a wonderful
aww.
Thing. So yeah, shout out to Destiny, and I don't have her girlfriend's name here, but shout out to them.
Aww, very cute.
Bless their hearts. All right, we are going to be doing a bit of Two Truths, One Lie next. Okay. It's a new feature. Jess and Kitty are going to tell me some truths and some lies, and I'm going to have to figure out which are which. But before that, we're going to have a little bit of Halloween by Aqua.
Ooh.
It's Tiny Night.
Jess is chewing again. She's never prepared. Come on, Jess, get it, get yourself together.
She's not got a career in radio.
All right, so this is Two Truths, One Lie, and it's the first time we've done this. So the guys have, you each have some truths and some lies, and I have to figure out which is, I don't, like, usually I'm the one in control. And I'm, like, relinquishing the control. So I guess we'll start with you, Kitty.
Okay.
All right.
So
hit me up.
Okay. I used to be a rapper. I used to be a competing fencer. And Simon Cowell is my uncle.
Wow. Okay, so I know that you... Oh. I feel
like when I said them out loud, I was like, wait, do you know the answer to these?
I think I know that you used to be a rapper because you supported Lady Sovereign, I believe. Or were you just like a singer or a dancer? I'm not sure, but I think that one's true.
Right.
And then what was the fencing one?
I used to be a competing fencer.
A compete, like you would compete in competitions as fencing?
Yeah.
Well, I can see you being quite sporty, so that seems like it might be true. And Simon Cowell is your uncle?
Yeah.
I feel like... Wait a minute, isn't your surname Cal?
Yeah.
Is your surname Kitty? Yeah. It is, isn't it?
Mm.
Oh, no, I think that one is the lie because you're trying to trick me into it. So I think you were a rapper, you were a fencer, but Simon Cowell is not related to you in any way.
Very true.
Yes! Right. I'm gonna press a buzzer for myself. Nailed it. I'm so impressed, by the way, that you supported Lady Sovereign. That's right. That was when
I hate the word rapper, but it was good. I'd usually just say music. Yeah, exactly. I'd usually say musician, but I was like, for the purpose of this.
I think it's amazing because I've only met you guys once, and that was at an event about what, like a month ago, probably. And that was one of the first things you told me, and I was like instantly like,
oh,
I used to love
told it.
Yeah,
I forgot that. As soon as I read it out, I was like, wait, I think I told you that.
It's the one thing you told me.
Oh god.
All right, Jess, let's have yours.
Right, okay, so I used to teach dancing. I was born and raised in the Philippines till I was six.
Ooh.
And I haven't shaved my legs in 2 years.
Oh, those all sounds like things that are true.
Well, maybe it's a trick.
Oh, well, see, I can see
you
your legs.
You can't look at my
I can
legs.
See your, but you could, like, veet, like, do you know what I mean? But, all right, so tell me, so you used to teach dancing.
Yeah, you used to teach dancing.
I feel like that's 100% true, because I feel like I know you were a dancer. Did I make that up?
No.
I don't know. I feel like that's true.
Maybe I just look like a dancer.
You do. You have, like, that kind of, like...
you are dressed a bit dancery.
Yeah, you have, like, a street dancer kind of look.
Mm.
Yeah. So I feel like that's true. You did used to teach dance.
And then my other one was, I was born and raised in the Philippines till I was six. And then the other one is, I haven't shaved my legs in 2 years.
I feel like born and raised in the Philippines series 6 is too specific for you to have made up. So I'm going to also say that that's true.
No.
No. Am I wrong?
Yeah.
So wait, which was... So that's the lie.
Yeah.
So you haven't shaved your legs in 2 years.
Jeez, it's so irritating.
They're so smooth.
Yeah, I know. Asians, they don't get hair.
You're telling me
I'm
they just...
So hairy.
That's just natural.
The last time I shaved my legs was Ibiza closings in 2015.
Wow.
September.
So irritating.
I mean, I probably shouldn't have said that, but hey guys, you all know I've got hairy legs. Woo-hoo!
No,
boys, come at me.
But they're not hairy. This is the thing.
Well, they look like they've been veeted.
They look like they've been freshly shaven.
Literally,
or like,
yeah.
Waxed, no. Or veeted.
Babes, it's the Asian flavour.
So I showed you my tattoo earlier, and because I can't shave around it, well, you can see
the little
hairs.
He's like, yeah.
You must hate her. You must hate her so much.
Yeah, I do.
Well, I mean, everyone's always like as well, my arms, just while we're on the subject. I've got like a smooth little baby arm.
Even I'm really jealous because I'm a swimmer and I have to constantly
shave
my legs and things when I'm doing like long distance swimming. So like,
so irritating.
I used to swim.
I want to get
you?
Everything lasered.
Mm.
Sports was like my life growing up.
You are like, the more I learn about you both, the more I like you.
Oh, nice.
You're my new favourite people.
Wait, so what kind of swimming do you do? Like, do you compete or just
no,
do it for fun?
So I was basically, I was training to...
No, because you said you hurt yourself, right?
Yeah.
I saw this on social media.
Oh, okay.
Because I did a thing with Virgin and I saw that you did.
Yes, we both worked with Virgin Active.
Yes,
yeah.
Exactly. And yeah, Virgin Active. I've already started here. And you said that you used to run?
Yeah, so I was once... I made a bucket list one time and it was 10 things I wanted to do in this specific year. And they were quite ambitious things. Like one of them was go and work with tigers. And I went on to do that.
Oh my God, sick.
But Yeah, so run the New York Marathon was on that list. And I was training to run the marathon and I really badly injured my left leg. Oh. And I was told that I shouldn't run again. Like running for the bus, fine, but like running competitively, like long distance, I shouldn't do it. Mm. So I took to swimming and I fell in love with swimming. I was about 23 at the time, so I was a late bloomer. You know, like if you want to be a proper athletic swimmer, you have to get into it when you're really,
really young. Yeah, yeah.
But I fell in love with it. And now I'm training to swim the channel.
Oh, wow.
I'm
That's
not doing
amazing.
It for a while. I'm aiming to do it for my 30th birthday.
Sick.
So I'm training for that right now.
Nice.
And yeah,
how long away is that?
I'm 27.
Okay, so
two and a half years.
Nice.
But you have to book it 2 years in advance.
Oh, wow. My God, are you joking?
Yeah, so I'm going it's a lot of money.
Is it that in demand?
Yeah, because the thing is, it's because there are so many boats and things that go through the channel. There are thousands of boats that go through the channel, and every single one has to be notified that you're swimming across.
Oh, wow.
You have to have a guide boat. The French and English authorities need to know that you're doing it. It's like it's not like you just go down the beach and swim. It's really complicated.
Yeah, that is mad. That is a long swim.
Yeah
it's terrifying.
What do you do in terms of like training out of interest?
Well, right now I'm just jumping in the pool and swimming for as long as I can. I swam for 5.5 hours the other day.
Oh
and
my God, are you joking?
I felt like I was going to die.
Wow.
5.5 hours just in the swimming pool?
Yeah, up and down in the swimming pool, 600 lengths.
Did you switch up the things or just one stroke?
I just did one stroke, front crawl. I must admit, it does get boring.
Do you have in-ear headphones, like waterproof headphones?
No, because I'm looking for some like really good like headphones that you can wear underwater, but every single one that I've tried, they like constantly fall out. You can barely hear the music.
I've heard a bit of like a horror story about them as well. My friend got like, she had to go to hospital to get it removed.
No, what? Because they got lodged in her ears.
Oh
yeah.
My God.
Mm.
5.5 hours though.
I know, I don't know how you do that.
Snoring off. Do you know, just like every now and then, like, oh wait, no, I've got to keep going.
I'm like, you must be a machine.
Yeah, like, that
it's
is
hard. David Walliams did the channel in 11 hours. Around 11 hours.
So you were basically halfway.
If I can do it at his speed, though, he actually did it quite quickly.
Oh, wow.
He was really fit for it, wasn't he? Yeah.
Mm. And he did it. He like trained for it and got it done so quickly as well.
Did he?
I guess because he's a celebrity and he has certain access and funds. I guess.
He
managed to do it in like, from when he decided to do it and when he actually did it, it was only like 9 months.
Oh my God. That's a quick turnaround.
So pretty impressive.
I wish I could get that fit in 9 months. Holla.
Hit me up.
Slide in the DMs.
We went on a bit of a tangent there.
Oh yeah, sorry.
I forgot what we were doing. We're playing a game, aren't we?
Yeah.
All right.
Two truths.
So Kitty, do you have another one for me? Or no, was that it?
No, that
was
it.
Oh, that was it. Oh, okay. Well,
we didn't realise, but we could try and make them up on a spot if you want it.
No, I feel like that was really good.
Okay. I wasn't sure if we were just meant to do like one lot of each.
Yeah, no,
like
that was loads. That was perfect.
Okay.
And then we sat and chatted about me swimming because, you know, I'm a narcissist. I like to talk about myself.
That was actually really interesting about
yeah. We like to think that we keep fit, but realistically. Yeah.
You guys are always doing like fitness things on the socials.
Yeah,
like this morning and yesterday as well. Were you doing something?
Yeah, what was the day yesterday? No, actually, what day was it?
Oh, did we do? No, we didn't do yoga. We did yoga on Sunday.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, I've just been to the gym every day anyway.
Yeah.
I honestly, I'm like, you two, your Insta stories are like aspirational. Aww, I see them and I'm like, you're always busy going to cool events, working out. I'm like, yeah, I want to be more like them.
This is also why like Insta is good, but it's also like a bit of a facade. Don't be fooled by what gets posted on Instagram because you just post what's good.
It's very true. Yeah,
and it's like people are like, oh my God, I wish I could do what you're doing all the time. It's like, it's actually really tiring.
Yeah.
You don't see the in between where I'm like, no food, dying, looking like death, nibbling on crisps in the corner.
We're waiting for the day that we get chauffeured around.
Like 24/7, Uber, holla.
Well, it's like travel bloggers, like, you know, it's an amazing thing, but it's exhausting. All that time actually on the planes, in the airports, going through all the exhausting part.
A lot of my friends are DJs and it's like, they love it, but they say like, it's actually really lonely because they're always just in hotels on their own, like, yeah, I don't know if I could do that.
If you've got someone to travel with, then it's cool.
Yeah.
I've seen a lot. I like started following loads of like couples that had quit their jobs and like gone off traveling.
Together.
Like they didn't even have a house anymore, you know?
Goals.
Get so like, engulfed in it. And then like cool ones that are not quite as like fancy, but had just sold everything, sold their flat and bought a camper van.
Yes.
And there's like, there was this whole thing, and I think it was a Telegraph. Am I allowed to talk about papers?
You can talk about whatever you
okay.
want.
One of the, you know, like the supplements. I'm yeah. like, oh God, can I plug? I'm not trying to. One of the supplements anyway, like the Saturday supplements.
Yeah.
And they had this whole feature on like cool camper vans, basically. But it was like cool couples that have also just like, they live their lives in a camper van.
Wow.
And I know a few friends that are doing it as well. Too, like a friend from school, they're not like Instagram people, but yeah. they're just off doing it. It's amazing. They've literally
and they're traveling the world in a camper van and then yeah. not posting it on Instagram.
Well, I know, right? Joking. What the fuck?
It's joking. There's money to be made.
Yeah.
Good for them, though.
Market then.
But there's another couple who have literally made their life out of it now.
Oh,
so, you know.
That's so cool.
I'd love to do that.
I know.
Just up and leave and just...
They're very connected. Like, yeah. they've done a lot before, so they can, if that makes sense. Like,
yeah.
one of them's got a really big following. The other one is just a really good photographer, videographer, like, pro this, pro that, you know.
So they're the perfect people for it.
Yeah.
Basically, yeah.
Well, that is absolutely awesome.
Hashtag goals.
All right, let's have a little bit more music. This is Ghosts and Stuff by Deadmau5. Love a bit of Deadmau5. It's like my go-to favourite festival song. Have you ever seen Deadmau5 live?
Yes, but I couldn't actually see him.
Oh, no.
You know, when the crowd is massive.
Yeah.
Yeah, a few times actually at festivals, but I've never been able to get close to him. Have you ever gone to... Sorry.
No, I was just going to say, I saw him for the first time this year at Southwest 4.
Oh,
and,
cool.
Oh, my God, like... I've been a huge fan for so long, but I was a bad boy and I got so drunk that I can't really remember.
Oh,
it.
No.
And I'd been looking forward to it for so long.
The anticlimax.
Yeah. Aww. So that's what happens when you misbehave. All right, we're going to play quiz throughout the years now. This is one of my favourite games, and I am going to read you... I have six facts here from LGBT plus history.
Right.
Some of them are facts, and some of them are things that I have just completely made up. Mm-hmm. And because it's Halloween, these are all Halloween-themed this week.
Cool.
So are you ready for your first fact or not fact?
Yes.
Yeah. All right. Scared I'm going to be awful.
So the first one is... Masquerade balls were actually invented by lesbian women seeking a way to share their love... to share their love with one another without people realising. The first masquerade ball happened in Venice in the 1600s, and hundreds of lesbian women managed to attend and evade authorities by pretending to be heterosexual couples.
I feel like that could be true, but I don't... Or I don't know if it's
like... I feel
like
it could be true, but I think it's slightly...
I feel like it's a similar story that's been slightly changed.
Yeah.
Okay.
But it also could be true.
Are we thinking false?
Oh, I don't know.
You don't have to agree. You can both give... I can pit you against each other if you like.
I'm going to go true.
Yeah?
I'll go false.
Okay, well, it is indeed false. Oh. So that point goes to Jess. So although it is false, masquerade balls were used by the LGBT plus community a lot historically.
Yeah.
And there were specific masquerade balls that were thrown for lesbian and gay people for that same kind of reason, so that they could go, they could dress up in a mask, and they could kind of disguise their identity and disguise their gender to some level. But in terms of it being invented by lesbians...
Yeah, that was the bit of I don't think that's quite true.
It is not true. Okay, so we do another one. Okay, the next one is... Sorry, I have lost my thing. Okay, here it is. All right, some of the most famous Halloween parties in the world were actually started as protests by LGBT plus people. The costumes and colourful displays attracted larger crowds over the years and continue today as Halloween celebrations for everyone.
I think that's false.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why do you think that's false?
Because, only because I care so much about Halloween that, I've watched so many movies and read so many things about it. That
you would have heard that
I feel
at
like
some
I would
point.
Have, yeah, exactly. And, like I used to live with I have an auntie... And I have two aunties that are married. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
I always say it really wrong. People are like, your aunties are married to each other. I'm like, no, one of them's blood and one of them's not. I feel like they would have told me, but I could be wrong.
Mm. Well, are both wrong.
I knew it. I was like, you're going to tell us it's wrong.
It's absolutely true. Particularly in places like New York and California, some of the biggest Halloween parties that are now celebrated by families and celebrated by absolutely everyone were actually started by LGBT plus people trying to protest and fight for their rights. Because, again, I feel like Halloween is you know, you get in costume and it's, again, it's something where I feel like you play with your gender. So it kind of makes sense. But in terms of your friends knowing that, I didn't actually know this until today either.
That's crazy.
I was looking for LGBT history facts about Halloween and I discovered this. And I think it's the, I may be wrong, so don't quote me on this, but I think it's the biggest Halloween street parade in New York apparently was started by LGBT plus people.
I didn't even know there was a Halloween parade in New York.
Me either.
Apparently there is.
I was told today that English people do Halloween crap. So
yes.
I think they do. I mean, realistically, in things that I've seen, like America go in.
They do. They go all
they go
out Halloween.
They go in. Like when you see the streets and stuff, literally all the pumpkins, everyone gets so involved.
They
There's actual street parties. Like England tries to do street parties and is dead. It's a couple of your old ladies that live on your road, and then there's one little table with some sandwiches. But I'd love to be in America for Thanksgiving and Halloween. And
me
stuff.
Too. And I feel like even the kind of commercial side of things, all the stores and things in America they dress their shop fronts and Halloween stuff.
They go all out.
I walked down Oxford Street the other day and I was doing the final bit of prep for I threw a Halloween party on Monday and I was doing the final bit of prep, picking up a few decorations and things. I thought, I'll just take a stroll down Oxford Street. I bet all the window displays are beautiful. Santa Clauses in all the windows.
Are you joking? Already?
That makes me so angry.
I
hate it.
It annoys me anyway when stores get too
keen.
Get too keen way in advance.
Yeah.
But given that Halloween is already such a commercial kind of holiday, why would you pass that up? That's you can't just skip Halloween and go straight to Christmas. Yeah. Is that October?
I actually once attended the Christmas light switch on here in London, and it was before Halloween.
You're joking.
It was on like October 30th, and I had to go to a Halloween party, so I actually attended the Christmas
in
light
your
switch
Halloween.
On in my Halloween
wow.
costume.
That is joke.
Just absolutely ridiculous.
That is so like funny. Typical London.
Typical London. Just skip Halloween. It makes it. I get really upset about it.
Yeah.
All right. Your next fact or not fact mm-hmm. is. In the original Frankenstein novel, Frankenstein's monster was intended to represent the struggles of a gay man and their ostracization from society. There were many subtle references to the monster's sexuality, namely his overt love and affection for his master, and his desire to intimately bond with the men in the neighboring village.
Well,
that sounds very true.
It does. Mm. I've watched a few versions of that story.
Okay.
And did, like, read it a bunch of times as well.
So you should know the answer.
Yeah.
But it's not, like, that's not a fact that's within the, does that make sense that you're told?
Yeah, it's not outright said, so
exactly.
It could be something
but
that you
But it definitely sounds, like, all the references that you just mentioned, when I now look at it, makes sense. Mm-hmm.
But then it's like, if it's not a fact,
yeah.
it's just the way someone perceives the behaviour.
Mm. Well, we just don't know that that's why it was written. Because yeah. I actually don't know much about the person that wrote the story. So
neither do I, and I have also not read or seen Frankenstein.
Oh my god, I own a DVD, so I'll lend it to you.
whether I'm making this up or not is,
yeah.
you know.
God.
Well, I'm going to go with true.
Yeah? And what are you going for, Kitty?
I mean, yeah, it makes sense. Like,
so you both think it's true?
I mean, your face looks like...
Yeah, absolutely
I could
wrong.
Tell by the face. Oh, God.
It's not
could
true
Could be true,
all.
Though. Could be true.
It absolutely could be mm. true. And, like, I have a loose understanding of the story. And
but there is a girl involved. There is a bit of a love story.
Okay.
So
it trips over there.
Yeah, a little bit. But at the same time... It could still be
yeah. It could be true. And I fooled you both, so I'm quite pleased with myself.
Damn.
We're crap at this.
Yeah, I know.
All right, your next one is, Disney is often criticised for its lack of LGBT+ representation, but two of the Sanderson sisters from the 1993 film Hocus Pocus are openly lesbian. Sarah Jessica Parker's character is the only heterosexual witch, and she is perpetually mocked by her sisters for her desire to be with men.
I don't actually remember that. Because no. I was going to say, when you played I Put a Spell on You, I was yeah. like, oh my God, Hocus Pocus.
Yeah. Yeah.
I bloody love that.
Yeah, I love that.
I used to be kind of Sarah Jessica Parker.
Oh
and
my
me
God.
And my little cousins used to roll around with like pillows under our legs, like yeah. pretending that we were like little witches. And I used to love when she's like, come little children.
She's my favourite character.
I
when she's like, oh,
film.
I want to tie him up and play with him. I'm
yeah,
like, she's
yeah,
me.
Yeah. She's like, runs around like, ah. I don't know. I think that's. I don't remember that. I could be wrong, though.
It could
I
be
know.
Something subtle, again. Yeah. It might not be something that's super overt.
Yeah.
I mean, I could see them as lesbian, but that's in a really cliche way. And that kind of makes me think that that's not true, then, because from a cliche point of view, you're like...
Yeah, it's too obvious.
Yeah.
I mean, they do always, like, get at her.
Yeah, it's true.
But I'm not sure if it's because of the... I don't know. I'm going to go with false.
Yeah, and Kitty?
False.
Yay!
I completely made that up, and if you remember the film correctly, the Winifred, the main witch, she resurrects her ex-boyfriend.
Oh my god, yeah,
Billy,
I was gonna say
who is a zombie,
so
it is quite overt that they are heterosexual witches. Would be nice if they were lesbians, but we're not quite there yet with Disney. Alright, your next one is Halloween is often referred to by the LGBT+ community as gay Christmas. But this actually stretches beyond gay men's desire for dressing up. Halloween was adopted by gay men in America before the gay rights movement began, and it became a time for LGBT+ people to come together and be open about who they were. This was due to the lack of religious connotations connected to the holiday and the feeling of security putting on a costume provided. Sadly, the biggest queer Halloween celebration in San Francisco ended in 2006 when a mass shooting saw 9 people seriously injured.
Eesh.
Sounds, dark. It sounds...
Yeah. That sounds very true.
Yeah, although, or it's a very elaborate lie that you made.
You know, I could be going, well, I mean, I'm going to get serious to try and trick them.
I feel like your face is giving it, like, it's a false face. Like, you got the little smirk on. So I'm like, it does sound very true, though.
It does sound very true, and it makes sense.
And America, but San Fran, I'm like, really? San Fran's like a cool zone.
It is a cool zone, in 2006 as well, for...
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, but you can be anywhere in America and crazy shit can happen.
That's true.
True.
I once saw a statistic the other day and it was something like I'm going to get the figures wrong, but last year in England, the number of people who were killed by guns was something like 16 people. And the number in America was like thousands and thousands of people.
Like, it's unreal
over
there.
It's terrifying.
Like, it's really scary.
I don't know why they haven't just banned guns and like banned being able to buy all this mad stuff. Like, the fact that you can just have a gun on road is just next.
Did you see that video where it was like a 12-year-old boy and he was going out? They first sent him out to try and get alcohol and he was laughed out of the store. And then he went to try and buy cigarettes. And the people were like, you can't have cigarettes. You're like 12 years old. Mm. And then he went to buy a lottery ticket. And like, the woman there was like, she was like, it's so sweet that you want one, but you can't have a lottery ticket, you're a kid, you're 12. And then he goes to buy a gun and they're like, yep, here you go, here's your gun.
You're joking me.
Yeah, and that's perfectly allowed.
Are you joking?
12 years old.
And literally the guy's like, yep, this is how you use it.
Are you serious?
Your gun. Yeah, 100%.
So wait, you can't have cigarettes, but here you go, bro, have a gun.
Here's
that's
a gun.
Insane.
That's why America is just so backwards and messed up.
It is backwards and messed up.
But back to the point.
Yes.
False or true?
I think it's true. But you're a very good liar if it's not.
Like the first half just sounded so true.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with true, but...
You are both absolutely correct. And it's really sad. I think it's a wonderful thing that queer people see Halloween as this opportunity to be themselves. And I think it's absolutely heartbreaking that while celebrating in 2006 of all times that a mass shooting could happen against them just for being themselves, and it's really sad. And usually this is a fun game, so it felt a little bit odd to put that in there.
Yeah.
But when I read that, I was like, gosh, and I didn't know that, and I feel that's my favorite thing about this game, is that there's all this wonderful LGBT+ history out there. It's something we never ever hear about in schools or in television or in the media. So yeah, I like it. So your last one, and this is a fun one, is Dracula was and always has been gay. His sexuality was expressly mentioned in the original novel and has been included in many of the film adaptations.
Again, I feel like I know a lot about Dracula.
I don't actually remember the story. I'm not
there
gonna
are
lie.
Well, there are a lot of adaptations and there's a lot of like...
I thought he was in love with a woman.
Yeah, I was about to say masculinity, like him chasing a woman... It's more of a like abusive like guy chasing a girl showing that he's in control, but maybe we don't know and we've forgotten.
I don't actually remember, if I'm being perfect.
I think it's false.
You are absolutely correct. But there is a tiny, tiny element of truth in this, and that is that Dracula wasn't the original. People always see him as the big original main vampire and the kind of start of that vampire craze, but he wasn't. The first famous vampire to be written about was actually a lesbian woman.
Really?
And that was what actually inspired
Dracula.
Bram Stoker, is that who wrote it?
Yeah, that's
right. That's what inspired him to write Dracula.
Oh my God.
Amazing.
And what was the female one called?
I've forgotten her name, and I was hoping you wouldn't ask
me.
Embarrass me.
Do you remember Count Dracula?
Count Dracula, the Donald Duck.
Kind
thing.
Of, yeah, yeah,
was
yeah.
Was it a duck, Donald Duck
Dracula,
spin-off?
Not a Donald... No, it wasn't Donald Duck.
It was.
It was a duck.
It was
but
a duck.
It wasn't Donald
yeah.
Duck.
But he kind of looked like Donald Duck, but a vampire version.
Yeah. I was obsessed with it when I was a kid.
Oh,
I
remember that.
Count Duckula.
No.
It's good. It's like dark children's humor. Cartoons.
I was all over that kind of thing when I was young.
Yeah.
You know, Halloween fanboy over here.
Yeah, same.
All right. We are going to be reacting to your sex confessions later on. So if you haven't already, please send those in to callum@fubarradio.com. We will not be reading out your names. It's 100% anonymous. So send in your worst and we'll be reacting to those in a little bit. But before that, let's have a little bit of Bump in the Night.
Beware of a fool. Stick to the path. Out come the creatures, the spine chilling.
You hear a creak on the stairs. You got a knock on your door. Is there anybody out? They love to get you, to capture you and make you.
Bump in the Night. That, I think that is the soundtrack for Scooby-Doo.
Oh, really?
And that's why I like it.
Oh, I don't remember that.
I was trying to play it on Spotify. I was getting in the Halloween mood the other day. I was trying to play it on Spotify and it wasn't there. I was really upset.
Aww.
But I got to play it on the radio, so, you know, whoop, whoop. Everybody wins. All right, this is my favourite segment. This is Porn or Not Porn. So I have some sound effects. I've got five sound effects here.
Wow, I love this shit.
And some of them are from scary films and TV programmes. And some of them are just from porn. So you have to figure it out.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry. I don't know if you were briefed in advance for this one.
It's all right.
All right.
Little
so
hump day happiness.
All right. So your first clip is...
That sounds like a dog.
That could be a horror movie as well.
Yeah, like when he's like behind the curtain.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's some heavy breathing going on.
Yeah. I don't think that's a sex sound.
No, I reckon that's not porn.
Yeah.
That's not porn. Final answer?
Yeah.
You are correct. It is Dustin from Stranger Things.
No way.
Yeah, do you guys watch Stranger Things?
I've only just started getting into it. I know, I'm really behind.
Do you not watch it either, Jess?
Basically, I don't actually really watch TV.
Oh, yeah, like, but Netflix isn't TV,
no,
is it?
No, but I don't even like.
Do you not?
No.
Jesus, like, Netflix is my life.
There's just really old stuff on there. Is Stranger Things an old series?
No, it's a Netflix original, so Netflix make their own shows.
Oh my God, sick.
Yeah.
I've seen loads. You didn't know that.
No.
I'm crap at watching because we're so busy, right?
Yeah.
We don't like when we're not doing things, we're like kind of doing more things.
Yeah,
at home.
Other stuff that isn't like work.
For me, or working out.
For
something.
Me, it's like no matter how busy I am, I always need that little bit of alone time at the end of the day. So before bed, I always watch like an episode of something. Every single night, no matter how tired I am, even if it's 3 a.m., unless I'm like coming home from a night out, then I don't. Like, any other time, I always watch something before bed.
So. I have started trying to do that a lot more. yeah. and watch movie, because I'm like, oh, I don't want to watch a movie if I'm on my own. That was this weird mentality that I had.
Really? I love watching films on my ones.
It's strange.
Yeah, me too. I love it. I go to the cinema by myself.
Oh my God, I was literally just about to say that. There's a cinema in Romford where I live. Big up the Romford, massive. It's basically the £4 cinema. It is sick. So when I'm bare bored, I just go and just cotch on my ones, basically.
That's so good. I have one of the Cineworld Unlimited cards.
Oh my God, yeah, my friend's
like
got that.
£15 a week, £15 a month.
Yeah,
and
unlimited. You can go all the time.
Sometimes I've literally been in there for a nap before.
Yeah,
I was out and about and I was like really busy and I was like, I just want to lie down. I was like, just go and sit in the
I
back.
I rate that. That's good. Like, fuck Shoreditch House. Yeah.
Cineworld.
That's so funny. But no, I've started watching it.
Yeah.
And I do really like it. I just need to continue. Do you know what happened? I was in like maybe a third or fourth episode and then I stopped it to turn on my light to be like, okay, in the morning I need X, Y, and Z. I better do this now before I get too comfortable.
Yeah.
I turned on my light and it started to flicker and then it broke. I was like, oh my God.
The upside down.
Why is this happening?
Their new series of Strange Things is about to come out as well.
Yeah.
On Friday, I'm going to a Netflix event to binge watch the whole second series.
Oh my God, that's sick.
You're joking me.
It starts at like 6 a.m. in the morning.
What?
I'm like going to be up and I'm going to be ready for it. I'm so excited.
That's
sick. Oh my God, that's so cool.
It's going to be fun.
I am using a boy's account from Netflix that I used to date and he doesn't know.
No, I've changed my, you know, like the guest name on your Netflix account. I've changed it to Freeloading Bitches because so many of like my ex-boyfriends, my friends, even my parents, like everyone's like bandwagoning.
He gave it to me, so what can I say? It's the only thing he gave me that was good.
Well, let's have another little sound bite. Jesus.
No, that's a horror movie.
I think that's a horror movie.
Yeah.
Let's have it one more time. That is not a horror movie.
What?
That is from porn. It just says Loud Screaming Orgasm by Busty Babe.
Lol.
That's so
I see it.
I mean,
I can, but it sounds more like kind of vibe.
Almost like I hear like a woman's leg being grabbed by a dog.
Yeah,
Or
like her just being like ripped like quickly.
Yeah,
like, and she's like that kind of vibe.
You are good at sound
effects. I know.
Really
I told you. I get well into it.
All right, your third one is.
Ooh, that's a bit of a hard
one. Okay, again, we need it again.
Again.
No, that's scared.
Because I hear the little creepy music in the background.
That's horror.
You are correct.
Oh,
it is Wendy from The Shining.
Oh.
Who's Wendy? Is she the
wife?
Yeah,
I don't know. I love the film, The Shining, but I don't remember Wendy.
I don't remember Wendy.
I'm very bad at names in movies, though.
I feel like in...
Bad at names of songs and bad at names.
In horror movies, I feel like you never really get the characters' names anyway.
No, not at all. Not
like,
really.
Except for Sydney from Scream. Because they're hello, Sydney.
Yeah.
Like, that's quite...
Yeah.
But, yeah. All right, next clip is...
Oh.
Need that again.
Yeah.
Sounds more like a gun or something going off, doesn't it?
I reckon that's a sex noise. She sounds like she's kind of like breathing in, like.
Yeah, maybe. Thanks for the rendition.
Well, I'm trying to remind myself.
Remind yourself.
So I'm like, is it or isn't it?
Wow.
I've not heard anything like that. Never.
All right, guys, fine.
So we're getting an insight into your life, yes.
Well, I wish.
Would you like it one more time?
Yeah, go for it.
I don't know. I feel like that's a horror movie again.
Yeah? Is that what we're going
what
for?
Do you think?
What are you saying, Jess? Horror movie or a little sexy sex?
I mean, now I've heard it, it does sound kind of horror-ish.
Mm.
But I'll just stick to my guns because I already gave my answer, so... I'll accept porn. Being wrong, yeah.
Well, it is not porn. It is Reagan from The Exorcist. I'm assuming that's the girl who's tied to the bed.
Yeah,
and she's like, your mother sucks cocks in hell. Favourite line from any movie.
What? I thought that was a bit of a dead movie, actually.
It's not actually popping, but for
scary.
The time.
Yeah, for the time.
Yeah, true.
It's really scary.
I watched it when I was like 12 in the Philippines, and bear in mind there's like no TV. So I bought them like this DVD thing. And we were all sitting around. There was like 12 children just sitting in this dark room.
Oh,
and I was just
the
like...
Exorcist.
Oh yeah, literally. I was like, come on guys, let's watch it. Everyone aghast about it, like it was so scary and they shit their pants.
And you're sat there.
And
not
I was
fazed.
Like, this is dry. This is so dry. Like, I didn't get it.
12-year-old like, Jess was badass. 12 years old.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Jeez. But I was like, maybe it's because like, maybe because it is like an old kind of thing. So like for the time, it's like, whoa, really scary. But like, yeah, I don't know.
But even the older movies, like when I was little, used to terrify me. Like, I think it's the second Nightmare on Elm Street film.
Oh, yeah.
There's a I don't know if you guys have seen it, but there's a scene where the puppet, no, it's like a clown, and he pulls the guy's like tendons out of his wrists.
Ooh.
And he drags him along the corridor by them and then drags him off the top of the building. And I remember watching that. I must have been like 10 years old. And I couldn't sleep for weeks.
Really?
I was so scared.
I was like that as a kid. But if you watch that now,
it
looks so fake.
Yeah, I have watched it now and I'm like, this looks
shit. So I kind of like him now. I like the old ones because I don't like being terrified.
Yeah.
I really don't. I like getting like my shit scared.
Oh, I love it. I'm like, I love it.
But it's good.
All right, your last sound effect. Well, it could be a spooky ghost.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like it's a sex noise, but that is a weird ass sex noise. Yeah. That was so long.
That went on. Yeah. Jesus Christ. Who's got the time for that?
Do you know what I mean?
Right, let's have it again.
Yeah, that's definitely a sex noise.
If that is him coming, boy, that is a bit disturbing.
Basically.
Like, realistically, I could have made tea and toast in that time. Yo, babes, let you do you. I'm going to make my toast. Lol, that was funny.
Well, you are absolutely right. And it just says here, it is from porn, and it's the best screaming orgasm ever after anal on the beach.
That laugh. The caption's killing.
In my head, I have all these images.
Yeah, he sounds like, that kind of makes more sense. It sounds like he's a bit in pain. But
sounds
like,
kind of like he's trying to like imitate a whale. Like maybe he's trying to like call the whales into
nature,
shore.
Like, yeah.
I just like making that noise on a beach just doesn't sound right.
It just doesn't
Do
seem
know what
to
I mean?
Fit.
Yeah, bit strange.
Anyway.
But there you have it. All right, let's have a bit of The Spook Returns.
I told you before. I told you he would be back. But you didn't listen. And tonight, the spook returns.
Honey, who gave us this one?
That was a remix I've never heard before. Don't know what happened there. All right, we are back and we are going to be doing... And we're going to be reacting to your sex confession. So you guys have been sending in. We've got loads here. I'm going to read them out. Thank you to everyone who sent them in. And we're going to react to them. So the first one. Last night, I went out clubbing with my friends. This guy ended up taking me back to his hotel and we had sex. The guy asked me to leave straight afterwards. I just feel used and dirty. I really, really liked him. We were dancing together all night and I really attracted him. But we're never going to see each other again. I didn't even get his name. Oh, that's really sad. Aww. That's a heartbreaking one to start on.
I know.
Yeah.
I think my, you know, my takeaway from this and my perspective on this is that I think it's absolutely fine to go out and, you know, have a one night stand. But I think everybody needs to communicate a little bit more and like actually talk about like what do you want, even if it's a one night stand, what do you want out of this? Are you coming home with me because you really like me and you want to date me? Yeah. Or are you coming home with me because you just want to have sex? And like you were saying earlier, Kitty, like the biggest problem in the world is lack of communication.
Yeah, literally.
And when it comes to sex, it's such a big issue.
It's so true.
I feel really, really sad for this person and I'm sorry that happened to you.
Yeah, it's shit, but also unfortunately they've learned the hard way and they will know now. I know that's shit because that guy should have communicated like you say. But you don't know to do that as a girl quite often, especially I don't know how old they are, but if that's never happened to them before, doesn't matter how old you are, you just won't have that in your mindset. Do you get what I mean? Because if you're not going to do that to other people,
you don't think it's going to happen to you.
No, exactly. And guys are dicks for...
Yeah, and I think, you know...
A girl can be a dick too.
Some people, you know, they will treat a guy or a girl or a non-binary person, they will treat them like... They'll treat them like a prince or a princess and make them feel like the most special person in the world. And sometimes they just want sex. And that can be really, like... If a beautiful guy came up to me and I met him on a night and I was like, wow, I really, really like this guy. Yeah. And they started treating me with that kind of love and affection. Yeah. And then they took me home and then they were like, all right, on your bike, get out, see you later. You're not having my number.
Yeah.
It would be a devastating blow.
Yeah.
Especially like you said, if you knew beforehand what you were getting into, then it's like, okay, cool, we'll have a good time and then that's it. But like I hate that when like people make out like, oh yeah, I really, really like you.
Liars.
And then, I swear, like one person always ends up kind of like catching feelings.
Yeah.
And then it's just always usually
someone
like
me.
Like you try, you give advice to everyone, like, be a hard nut. And then when it comes to you, you're like, oh, he looked at me.
Although the only time I've ever just been like, oh, you know, not even saying like one night stands or anything like that, but just like wanting to have fun. Like I can see that I like someone, but I'm not going to get married to them.
Yeah, absolutely.
Honestly, I'm in that mindset. And then they're like, by the way, you know, like this isn't going to go to like something really deadly serious. And I'm like, I know.
Yeah.
But like they lay it on me and I'm like, I'm there. I'm with you on that situation.
Yeah, absolutely.
Why is this conversation happening? I'm like, you are not boyfriend material. Sorry.
Sorry about it. All right, let's have another one. So, at the shop I work at, there's a manager, and I don't know how I feel about him. I close the shop with him every single Saturday, so we spend a couple of hours practically by ourselves just telling each other about our lives. He has told me about some hookups he has had, and he's even walked me home after work to make sure I was okay in the dark. I know he doesn't see me in a sexual way or anything, but I know that if he ever asked me to do anything with him, I'd say yes. I have fantasies about him all the time, and I just feel so sexually frustrated. I think it's interesting that you say that you know he doesn't...
Yeah.
How do you know? Because, you know, people... You can't read people's minds, and sometimes people can be so disinterested.
Oh, it's so true.
The amount of times I've seen friends like trying to hook up and stuff, and they're like, "Oh, he's not into me," and then that other person's like, "Oh, I like them so much." I think like shyness and the fear of like
rejection,
all of that stuff can come off in the wrong way. So, I'm not saying go up to him and be like, "Hey, can we have sex?" Because you know, you obviously have this relationship with him, and you don't want to make it awkward.
Yeah, that's the only. It's always
tricky.
A catch-22 when it's like work. When I used to work in retail, like for years, I always had this thing of like, you can't fuck around with like work colleagues.
Sure.
Because then the one time I did, it just like backfired in my face so poorly. And like, yes, I don't know. It's always a tough one.
Yeah, I used to have a rule which was don't sleep with other YouTubers because we're all in the same community and like we see each other all the time. And I do that all the time and I break my own rule. And it's like, for God's sake, Callum. And it's the same as like sleeping with colleagues. It can be tricky. Or I don't know what advice to give this person.
I would say you should subtly figure out, number one, do you just want to have sex with them? Mm. Or because, like you say, you were together. I feel like it sounds like there's some kind of feelings there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you need to figure that out. Because if you were to pick up the subject with them somehow, you need to say that rather than, I just want to sleep with you. Because maybe they'll get the wrong idea.
Yeah.
Mm. And if you are going to bring up that subject, just do it subtly. You know, it's a simple way. It's just like, oh, are you single at the moment? Like, have you been seeing anyone? Oh, I'm, you know, they'll ask you the same thing. But don't be too roundabout. Just be obvious. Just be like, oh, I love hanging out with you. It's so much fun. We get on so well, don't we? Complimenting someone to a point of them understanding that it's because you like them more than a friend, but not being too full on. So you're still giving
them... not frighten them away, to make them feel uncomfortable, but giving them the opportunity to reciprocate if there is something there.
Exactly. Yeah. That's all you need to do.
That is tremendous advice.
Thanks.
I think sometimes as well, like, I know it's a bit of a cop-out, but like I feel like sometimes, like, if you have a mutual friend or a mutual colleague who you trust, that they can maybe...
Go in and suss out the situation
and see without giving away that you like them or anything, they can just maybe tease around. The only drawback of that is that they could go and ask or try and find out, and the person might lie and be like, oh no, I don't like them, but they actually might.
It's better to have the conversation yourself.
I agree.
Yeah,
communication is key.
Yeah.
That is the motto of today's show. Communicate. I feel like that's the motto of every single show.
It's just life.
I hope it works out for you anyway, whoever you are. Okay, next one is, I am a religious person. I've promised God and my family and those I care about and respect that I would wait until marriage to have sex. Yet I think about it every single day, multiple times a day. I want to have sex so badly. I'm in my late 20s and my body is ready to have sex. I think about just doing it and dealing with whatever happens next. But then I think about God and the promise I made. How can I disappoint all those people because I'm horny? I take my own needs frequently, but it just isn't enough.
It's really difficult, that, because there are two things I'd say. I mean, I'm not a religious person, and I also am very opinionated in the fact that I think you should listen to yourself.
Yes.
Because the biggest issue that people have in life is trying to please others. And you should always care about people around you, but by making yourself happy, you make other people happy in the long term.
Absolutely.
Short term, no, maybe not, but in the long term, everybody's happy if you are.
Yeah.
You're only going to reject. You're only going to resent them for stopping you from doing anything you want to do. So there's that. There's also the fact that I understand that if you believe in something, it's important to you. You should think about why that's important to you. Is it because you care, or is it, again, because other people care?
Yeah.
But another thing I would say, from being an adult and having not been, you know, stopped by religion in doing what I want, is that the most... You can tell me that I'm wrong, but for me personally, I, as a woman, enjoy having sex with a partner. Mm-hmm. You know, like, don't get me wrong, you can always... There'll be certain people that you can be on the same level with. It can just be a fun situation. And if you can both agree on that, fine. But more often than not, it's way better when you love someone.
Absolutely.
So realistically, what you need to know is that if you do find the right person, you do have sex with them, it is going to be better than, for example, a one-night stand we just heard about.
Yes.
So I'm not religious, but I can see the pros and cons, you know. And I do sometimes think that maybe it is better that you wait until you're with someone that is right. But
I think, like, wait for you. Like, I was brought up religious, and, like, I'm, like, a Catholic, but I'm not, like, a practicing Catholic. And, like, I, like we were talking about earlier, like, for me, religion is something that you kind of, like, is, like, a moral kind of compass. So, like, even though it's ingrained in you that you shouldn't have sex before marriage, essentially you do what is right for you and how you feel at the time. And I wouldn't say, because I know you kind of said, like, I just have the urge, I just want to get it over and done with. I don't think that's necessarily the right attitude.
No.
I think, like, if you want to do it, you've waited so long already.
Exactly.
Don't just blow it on one night, because trust you, I promise you, it will be shit. Like, realistically, it's going to be shit. The guy won't care about, like, pleasuring you and, like, pleasing you. It won't be a good experience.
Exactly.
So wait until you find someone, but I don't think you necessarily... I mean, obviously, religion's a thing, but if it's you doing it for you, wait until it's the right moment. Yeah. And it could be a boyfriend, but it doesn't have to be like marriage.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? 100%.
I completely agree with both of you. I think it's about the right person and not, you know, not necessarily being in love, but having strong feelings for that person. And I think, you know, there are lots and lots of religious people out there who have sex before marriage. And you know, I don't think it's a grand betrayal of your religion or who you are. It's about listening to your body and listening to how you feel and wanting to share something special with somebody else. So you know, I would say just listen to yourself and listen to your own needs, and then and take everyone else out of the equation. And if you really do for yourself want to wait until marriage, because that's really what you believe and you know that that's what makes you happy, then absolutely fire on and do that. But if your body and your mind and everything else is saying, no, I really like this person and I want to have this moment with this person, then I think go ahead.
Yeah, exactly. It's about being with the right person, I'd say.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. The next one is... I think I'm starting to have feelings for my best friend, but we both are currently in relationships and I do love my boyfriend. I'm just feeling really confused right now, but I can't stop thinking about him. Fuck. Fucking capital letters at the end there.
Gosh, I've got a point to make about this.
All right.
It depends how old you are. Like,
okay.
I do think that that makes a difference, but also, or how long you've been in the relationships that you're both in. But from personal experience, you can be in love with somebody, but they could be the love of that point in your life.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean that, and I'm very much for people staying together forever as well. Don't get me wrong. But I think that in some people's lives, a lot of people's lives, certain people come, you know, for that part of your life, that journey, and other people come for the next part. And it's all a learning experience. So your current boyfriend might have just been the past 2 years or 4 years or whatever. And maybe you've changed and you've grown and your best friend is the next period of your life. And the thing, obviously it's complicated, and don't cheat. That's one thing I would say. Don't cheat. But when you start to have feelings for somebody else, more often than not, there's a reason.
Yeah, absolutely.
There really is. And people need to listen to that, because too many people stay in relationships but have feelings for other people. I personally spent a year doing that. Like, I was with someone for 4 years. The last year, on off, had feelings for somebody else. And realistically, it's because I had loved that boyfriend. He had loved me as well. We had never looked at anyone else for 3 years. Definitely, either of us, completely content. The last year, I wanted to move to London and he didn't. And so ultimately, that was what was wrong.
Yeah.
You know, we just wanted different things in lives. Like, our paths were changing.
Yeah.
So it wasn't that he wasn't right then, but going forward, he wasn't right. And this other person and those feelings, you know, represented that.
Mm-hmm.
So it could be that you and your best friend then, you know, might be together forever, or it's at least telling you that the relationship you're in now is wrong. And I genuinely think people need to listen to that, because they don't. They just go, it's silly, don't worry, I'm in a relationship, I'm going to stay. But you're not. What's not fair is it's not fair on you, because you're not listening to your own happiness. You're not going to be happy. And you're stopping that other person, your now boyfriend, from being as happy as they could be. You both have other journeys to go and do. That's my point.
I
think you kind of
point.
Nailed that.
Yeah, absolutely smashed it out of the park. And, I think, you know, about the language this person has used as well, that they're not saying that, like, oh, you know, I really fancy my best mate.
Exactly.
I really lust it. You're saying that you have feelings for them.
Yeah.
And that's something real. So I think you need to figure out what those feelings are. And if they are legit and your friend feels the same and you want to do something, like Kitty said, absolutely do not cheat. I think it's, you know, if you make that decision that you want to try it out with that person, then you have to
break up.
You have to finish your current relationship. I think it's one of the biggest mistakes people make is cheating.
I don't get it. Like, having been cheated on and
same.
So I could never do that to someone else.
No.
And like, it just infuriates me. I'm just like, why do you need to have the best of both?
But
like,
it's not ever. It's not the best of anything.
If you're not happy, just don't drag that girl or guy like through shit, because like, they're obviously still in love with you. Just break it off. Like, I don't get the incessant need to like have someone that's just there as your girlfriend.
Exactly.
Like, you put them on like a little
pedestal.
But like, realistically, you want to do like loads of other shit.
Do you know what we all think? We all think if you've been with someone for a period of time, it's a goal. For me, it was a goal, an achievement.
Yeah.
So even though I knew I'd clocked out of this relationship after 3 years.
You felt committed.
Yeah.
I mean, I felt I was 6 years, so I felt exactly the same.
You're like,
under 10.
Yeah, it's like mad.
Wow, geez, Jess.
I know.
No one ever believes that about me.
I know.
When they know me, I'm like, I was a confident high school girl, like, But no, yeah, it is a thing. Like, to be committed is, it's a lifestyle. Like, it's a whole other thing.
Yeah, it's
important.
That's
why, to me, I just don't understand, like... Like, if you have feelings for other people, yeah, just definitely...
Yeah. And don't be in a relationship where you have to hide anything.
Yeah.
Be open. You know, the betrayal is the most hurtful thing. I think you need to be open and have those conversations.
It hurts you as much as the other person. Yeah. So just don't put yourself there. Learn to move on.
Well, that was excellent advice, girls. I want you to come back and do this, because that was some of the best advice I've ever heard.
Guys.
I'm actually making notes. I'm like, okay, take this away from myself.
We're actually 60.
But that brings us to the end of the show. It went so quick. I've been having such a good time with you guys, and I adore you and everyone listening.
Same.
If you don't already know these girls, do go check them out. Mm-hmm. Your Instagrams are Kitty Cowell and Juice G.
And then we have the unisex mode together.
So do go check them out. They are amazing. I do genuinely adore them. I'm currently obsessed.
Thanks.
So do that. And we're going to play you out with a bit of Enter Sandman by Metallica.
Yeah.
See you later.
Bye.